T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Awesome to be here with you guys on a Friday Eve edition of the show. An absolutely loaded final hour for you. In the very next segment, we'll be joined by Laura Rutledge, the host of SEC Nation, the traveling circus each week on the biggest college football game of the week. Laura Rutledge is the host of SEC Nation, featuring Tim Tebow, Paul Feinbaum, and Marcus Spears. She's also a brand new mom. I said to her that in a game the magnitude of LSU and Alabama, each team is trying to impose some form of will. What will is LSU trying to enforce on Alabama, and vice versa? We'll ask her that, among many other things, in a very fun interview that Lonzo and I completed at 12:30 this afternoon. We'll share that interview with you in the very next segment. Congratulations to whom, Lonzo? Zach Stevens, on winning a 4-pack of tickets to Clemson versus Colgate. Clemson brushes with Colgate on Sunday at 2 p.m. and will have very clean teeth afterward, and hopefully we'll have a victory, the first victory of the season. No excuse not to, for crying out loud. All right, it is time for the Top 3 at 3, presented by Moe's Southwest Grill. 12 locations to serve you outstandingly throughout the upstate of South Carolina. The Moe's Top 3 at 3 starts now. Hit it! All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am a huge fan of disproving adages and disproving absolutes in my life, because I believe that very few things in life are absolutes. And one of them that has been a very lazy narrative in the NFL recently is that scrambling quarterbacks just don't work. You can't win with a scrambling quarterback. Oh, really? Have you seen the job Lamar Jackson has done lately for the Baltimore Ravens? He recently only beat the greatest who has ever done it, Lamar Jackson. What did it feel like to beat Sir Tom?
I'm trying to win versus anybody I play. I don't really dwell on one player, or, you know, it's just this guy I want to beat. You know, like I said before, that's still the GOAT. No, nothing changed that. I'm happy to get the win, of course, especially at M&T Bank Stadium. So it's pretty cool, but I don't really care because it's to get Tom Brady. I just want to win.
Lie alert. I believe he does care that it's Tom Brady, but congratulations to you, Lamar Jackson. It is great to see you doing amazing things, and it is even better to flush this old adage that scrambling quarterbacks don't work in the NFL. You see, I'm still sore about Tim Tebow because he didn't get a fair shot, but what Baltimore has done is they've built their whole offense around this philosophy, around the Lamar Jackson philosophy, and it works on the collegiate level as well. Georgia Tech, when they used to have Paul Johnson, would stun teams because they didn't see that triple option. Navy is still doing it today. Army and Navy are still doing it today. Part of the reason for Lamar Jackson and Baltimore's and John Harbaugh's success is that they play a different style than everyone else. And you know what, folks? There are multiple ways to skin the cat, and it can work. When Denver had Tim Tebow, why did they win? I'll tell you. They led the league in rushing. They led the league in time of possession. They committed very few turnovers, and the defense wasn't on the field a lot, leading the league in time of possession. Right now, it looks very similar to Lamar Jackson. So I'd ask you, is he the best dual threat of all time? Well, Mark Ryan, what about Michael Vick? What about Michael Vick? Let's look at the side-by-side. Career completion percentage. Lamar Jackson, 61.8. Michael Vick, 56. Touchdown to interception ratio. Michael Vick, 133 touchdowns to 88 picks. Lamar Jackson, 18 touchdowns to 8 picks. Lamar Jackson is better than 2-1. Mike Vick is about 1.5-1. Quarterback rating, Mike Vick, 80.4. Lamar Jackson, 90.9. Yards per pass attempt, is Lamar Jackson simply dumping it off? Mike Vick, 7.0 yards per pass attempt. Lamar Jackson, 7.4 yards per pass attempt. And finally, Rushing yards, the greatest number of rushing yards in a season. Mike Vick, 1,039. Lamar Jackson, through 8 games, has 637, is on pace for 1,274 rushing yards this particular season. By the way, all-time rushing yards for a quarterback. Mike Vick, 6,109. What do you think? Can Lamar Jackson beat that? I love Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson is bucking conventional wisdom. And anything that blows out the adages, anything that blows up absolutes, I am a huge fan of. Just like pitching wins championships in baseball, right? Until you realize in the 2011 World Series, both the St. Louis Cardinals and the Texas Rangers had postseason ERAs over 5. There are no such things as absolutes in sports, and Lamar Jackson is another example as to why. Is he the very best dual-threat quarterback of all time? I don't know, but he sure is fun as hell to watch. Next up. All right, at number 2, folks, there's no doubt about it to me that college football, not just Clemson, but college football on the whole, would be in a better place if some of these storied programs that have been depressed for some time would rise up again. I've got a list of 7 programs whose rebirth would do great things for the sport as a whole. Here you go. My 7 teams that are in need of being born again, if you will. Michigan, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, and Southern Cal. Now, for Clemson, who's being penalized right now because of the rest of their conference, and I think that is completely and totally unfair, all we have to do is go back to Deshaun's year in 2016, Deshaun's national championship season, and see when Clemson wasn't penalized for their schedule. In 2016, the Tigers had 6 games that were decided by 7 points or less. But that was okay at the time. You know why? Because 5 teams finished the season in the top 25 out of the All Cupcakes Conference. Who were they? Clemson, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Florida State, and Miami. The following season, Kelly Bryant's year, 4 ACC teams finished the year in the top 25. Clemson, Miami, North Carolina State, and Virginia Tech. But Florida State is set to miss the top 25 for the 3rd year in a row. Miami and Virginia Tech, neither will likely finish the year in the top 25. Their drop, their fall to mediocrity has killed Clemson and has killed Clemson's strength of schedule. But if you're asking me, among all these programs, the one that college football needs the most to resurrect itself is USC. Why? Because if you put a dividing line right down the center of the United States, Texas is your midway point, right? Texas represents the center of the country. If I asked you how many teams west of Texas are in the college football playoffs top 25, what would you say? 8? 12? 13? Try 3. Only 3 college football programs in the western part of the United States comprise are in the college football playoff top 25. Folks, it is embarrassing. Those 3 teams are Oregon, Utah, and Boise State. You see, college football desperately needs USC to resurrect itself because the most populous state in the country, California, has not one single team in the college football playoff top 25 rankings, and only 12% of the top 25 is even in the western half of the United States. Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, Michigan, USC, Tennessee, and Texas A&M, the 7 powerhouse, once powerhouse programs that need to resurrect themselves for the good of college football. Which one do you think is most important for the future of the sport? And finally, LSU and Alabama coming your way this weekend. You heard Colin Wilson say it. LSU's weakness on defense has been the middle of the field. They are 113th in the nation, allowing explosive passing plays. They create a lot of passing plays. But the reason why I'm leaning Alabama is I think Alabama, while their defense has been more porous than it's been in recent years, is going to have an answer for LSU and Joe Burrow. Just don't tell that to Ed Ogeron, who has complete and total faith in his signal caller.
Joe's great under pressure. We want the ball in his hands under pressure, just like he made the play against Texas. third down and 17. We've been in a hostile environment. We play some big-time teams. We play some great defensive lines. So we're ready for this. Joe Burrow's a winner. He's a leader. We believe in him.
Lonzo, impromptu, you and I, that impression of Ed Ogeron right now, I'll go first.
But we believe in Joe Burrow. He's going to be a great guy, and he's lights up the opposing defenses, and he's great against Alabama. He'll be great moving forward, and I've got all the faith in the world in him to go to Tuscaloosa and get the W.
You sound like Will Pelagic trying to do Ed Ogeron. Listen, I can't
come
do
on,
it.
Come
I
on,
can't do it.
Come on.
Joe Burrow. Yeah.
I couldn't understand one word you said except Joe Burrow, by the way, which is probably your goal. Probably your goal. Look, which team is going to be able to impose its will? What is the health of Tua Tagovailoa? Reports are that he's practicing, that he looks very, very good in practice. I think the home field is going to play a big factor in this particular contest as well. We cannot wait for it. 3:30 p.m. Saturday on CBS. The Crimson Tide favored by 6.5 points per game. My early inclination is that the team that gets its running game going the best has the best chance to win. All right, those are your top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. We get to all your texts here on the air. Just start your text with the word ESPN. You can follow us on Twitter. We get to your tweets live and on the air. At Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo Onward, at ESPN Upstate. And you can also email the show, M-A-R-C Ryan, Mark Ryan at ESPNUpstate.com. Coming up next, very excited to bring this interview to you, Laura Rutledge, the host of SEC Nation. She works with Paul Feinbaum, Tim Tebow, and Marcus Spears and Marty Smith each and every week. We interview her next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so at 12:30 this afternoon, Lonzo and I had a chance to interview somebody I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Her star has risen so fast. You see her on College Game Day. You see her as host of SEC Nation with Tim Tebow, Paul Feinbaum, Marcus Spears, Marty Smith, and more. She also went to my university, and you'll hear, I just wanted this to be a casual conversation from somebody who admires her but has never spoken to her before. Lonzo and I had a chance to speak to Laura Rutledge of ESPN's College Game Day and SEC Nation earlier today.
How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm doing very, very well. So it's so wonderful to have you on with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Congratulations on your newborn, Reese Catherine Rutledge. What a beautiful name. Now,
thank you.
How is that going?
Well, it's an adventure, but it's been good. You may hear her.
I do.
Her interview here.
I do.
Yeah,
I do. I was going to ask
right
her.
Here.
I was going to ask her, Laura, if she has an affinity for orange and blue.
Well, you know, she actually is a little bit stuck because her dad, you know, went to Alabama. So she's kind of caught between the two. But I will say this, she's gotten so many outfits from different SEC schools that she really is going to have her choice whenever she's old enough to choose. I'll just let her decide what she likes the best, and then she can be a fan of that school.
In the seesaw arm wrestle, between husband and wife, I'm wondering what color scheme will win out there in the end. I think that's going to be a fascinating development.
I love it. We'll have breaking news when we find out.
Laura Rutledge joining us here on the show today. She is the host of SEC Nation, which this Saturday will air live from 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on SEC Network from Moore Hall on the campus of the University of Alabama, ahead of number 2 LSU and number 3 Alabama. We look forward to that, the biggest game of the year. It's the biggest game of the century each and every year. I often say, Laura, that the team that wins is the one that best imposes its will. What would you say LSU is trying to impose on Alabama on Saturday and vice versa?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. When you look at this game in the past, you know, and in the past, it's been more about the line of scrimmage. And, you know, look, that's still always going to be the case just in football in general, but specifically in the SEC. And these two teams match up well there. But I really think LSU is going to try to impose their offensive will on Alabama, which that's a new thing, right? We haven't seen an Sure. LSU offense that's been able to really do that. And so I think that's going to be cool. I imagine that LSU, Joe Brady, you know, Joe Burrow at the quarterback spot, but Joe Brady specifically and Steve Ensminger up there in the booth making this offense go, they're going to be doing everything they can to try to catch Alabama off guard. And that may mean, you know, trying to strike quickly. I would be very shocked if they're not stretching the field early and often. And, you know, some of this even has to do with like who gets the ball first and how they manage that. I imagine LSU is hoping they get the ball first and they can go out and quickly score. That to me is going to be the chess match throughout this game, is what does Alabama do to defend this LSU offense that really can make things happen so quickly and just can score in chunk yardage and really with explosive plays. So I think we'll see a lot of that. I would imagine both of these teams have tricks up their sleeves. Obviously, Tua's health is big for Alabama, but they've had time to prepare for this. They've got tricks up their sleeves, and it's just going to be fun from a fan perspective of football in general to watch it.
You know, speaking of tricks, that's what I was going to ask. Is this just a trick by Saban? Is Tua, are you hearing, is Tua going to play? And if Tua doesn't play, can Alabama beat LSU without him?
Yeah, Tua's going to play. I think the question is, how healthy is he? Now, everything that I've heard is pretty positive coming out of Tuscaloosa, that he looks good. He's ready to go. He's healthier than he was the last time he had this procedure done on the other ankle. So I guess this high ankle sprain wasn't quite as severe. But, you know, you just wonder how he's going to feel if things don't go well early. Or let's say LSU gets to him early. They really are able to pressure him. It's got to be in the back of his head. I mean, look, Tua wants to win. He's such a competitor. But he also has a future to think about, too, with the NFL. And I'm the last person to sit here and say that, you know, someone's going to go into the game of the century in college football thinking about the NFL, but it has to be at least partially in his mind. And I do think that's a factor here to consider when we watch it. I don't think Alabama can win without him. Mac Jones looked good against Arkansas, but Arkansas is not LSU by any means. And so I think that if Alabama is going to win this one, which they need to win to make it into the college football playoff, I don't think they can do it without the play of Tua Tagovailoa.
Laura, while other conferences have produced elite teams, as a whole, no other league has been able to supplant the SEC in over a decade, in my opinion. Is it as simple as the slogan, "It just means more"? What are your theories as to the sustained level of dominance in this conference?
Yeah, you know, people get kind of annoyed by the slogan and all of that that's associated with the SEC and the SEC chants and all of that. And I get it, because I think for college football as a whole, you kind of want there to be a little bit more wealth spread around from a talent standpoint. And look, coming into this year, we all said, hey, maybe the Big Ten's going to really threaten the SEC. And in this very first edition of the college football playoff rankings by the committee, we see two Big Ten teams in there and two SEC teams. So that's promising. Now, some of this is going to get sorted out in the wash over the next few weeks. Ohio State and Penn State have to play each other, but they are two very good teams. And I think just overall, you look at some of these conferences and the Big Big Ten would be included in this. It's top heavy. I mean, I was the first saying that I thought Nebraska was going to be significantly improved this year. I thought we would see a stronger Big Ten, and we've seen it by some teams, but, you know, Michigan hasn't been quite what we expected them to be, although they still have a chance to prove a lot here in the latter part of the season. And just overall, it hasn't quite gotten that. But Pac-12 continues to kind of beat each other up throughout each year. And the ACC, just frankly, outside of Clemson, is weak. And so we need to see some of these other teams get to the point where they can really make their conference stronger. And until then, the SEC is going to continue to recruit and continue those powerhouse programs rolling right along. And I just don't see that dominance really falling off anytime soon.
Laura Rutledge, host of SEC Nation, joining us on the show, and she is a University of Florida graduate. I am a University of Florida
graduate. I can't believe it took this long. It took this long for you to mention that. I thought you would leave with that.
Those of us who have toiled in Weimar Hall, there is a kinship there. Okay,
I love it.
Right, Weimar Hall all the way, Laura. So here's the thing: I'm right now in upstate South Carolina, Laura, and it's kind of Clemson country. It's South Carolina country. So in this role, I'm able to allow people to know that I root for the Florida Gators, and I enjoy that. Do you still allow yourself to root for the orange and blue, Laura?
Not publicly.
Okay.
Privately, I will have my moments of rooting for them, and you know it's interesting because I really do hope that Florida does well at all times.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's the accurate way to put it. But I really have become this person that kind of roots for players and coaches that I like or that have good stories or that, you know, you just want to see good things happen to good people. And so I know that may sound corny, but that is kind of how I operate and how I root, I guess, is the best way to put it. And, you know, sometimes that's Florida and I want Florida to do well, but I think just over the years, I've kind of trained myself to not, you know, want to cheer or not be a part of that, which maybe is a little bit sad, but what I also find is that I have so much joy watching other people root for their favorite team. So whatever it may be, whatever fan base it is, it's so much fun for me to see how much they care.
Laura, never suppress that orange and blue love. Never suppress it. Let it flow out. It's very healthy for you. I'll tell you, I've done it. I feel so much better. Admission is the first step toward recovery. It's beautiful.
Right, I need to go to orange and blue therapy. Can you guys help me? What are we going to do about this?
Definitely. We definitely can help you with that. Can you give us one piece of dirt on each of your co-hosts? Feinbaum, Tebow, Spears, Marty Smith.
Yes. Okay. So for Feinbaum, my biggest piece of dirt on Paul, and this is not really a shocker, but I just think it's worth saying, Paul only eats smoothies, and you can't eat a smoothie, so he only drinks smoothies. So the guy, I'm constantly trying to get him to eat things, and he will really only drink a smoothie. So that's kind of his routine, is he drinks a smoothie every day. And then for Marcus's favorite thing about an SEC Nation weekend, other than actually doing the show and, you know, talking football, is that he will play Fortnite on our bus. So we have like a whole setup in the back of the bus where he plays Fortnite, which will come in the bus and you just see him back there, you know, battling it out with somebody. I'm not totally familiar with how Fortnite works.
Does he jump up and get heated and does the entire bus shake when he gets?
Oh, of course. And that happens. And for Tim, I mean, look, there's not a lot of dirt on Tim. He truly is a wonderful person, but he does have some interesting food things that he does. Like he'll eat a whole avocado with nothing else. I realize there's kind of a food theme here, but, you know, Tim is a very healthy eater and he's very committed to that. So that's always fun to see what sort of weird thing he's got. He's very into the keto stuff. So he'll often be trying to give Marcus and I some sort of keto thing, and usually we'll eat it, and usually I'll like it more than Marcus does. But so that's not a big shocker because Marcus is a boy raised in the South, so he definitely likes his food. And then for Marty, you know, Marty is just at all times the Marty party, and so you never know what that may entail or what may happen. But I'll just put it this way: the text messages in our group text for all of us are something that I should publish into a book at some point when my career is over, because it would be so entertaining, I think, to anybody who might be privy to the information. But just a great group of guys, and I'm so thankful to be able to spend time with them.
You know, you said you were going to give some dirt, and I'm waiting. Okay, what's she going to say about Tebow? And yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. He eats avocados.
Good and I'm not surprised, Marcus Spears. I'm not surprised.
I wish I had dirt on Tebow, but there's just not any. Like, it just literally doesn't exist.
Oh, man. And I'm not surprised that Marcus wants no part of that keto. He's got to keep the energy up for all those late-night Fortnite battles, right?
Exactly. Very well said.
Why do you think Paul Feinbaum hates Clemson so much, Laura?
Okay, it's funny because I have actually had this conversation with him quite a bit, mainly because my mom and my brother went to Clemson. So,
wow.
And I grew up going to Clemson for actually science camp. Nerd alert, but anyway, that's the reality of it. So I've always, you know, Clemson's always held a special place in my heart. And so we've had it out many times. And I think for Paul, it's more about the fact that the Clemson fans who have called into his show have been, you know, really overzealous. So that sort of, which, look, I don't think that there's a such thing as being an overzealous fan, because that's the whole point of being a fan. But Paul then, of course, has turned that into fuel for himself. And that's what makes him who he is. That's where his genius lies, because he is fueled by controversy and fueled by being able to battle it out with fans, and that's the whole point of his show. So he carries that on as a theme throughout. But you know, you guys know this. He had Clemson in his top four, whereas the committee did not, which, look, Clemson's going to be fine. They just need to win out and win the ACC. They're in, absolutely, and he's been the first to say that. So I think Paul actually likes Clemson more than he pretends to.
All right, which is more entertaining, an angry Nick Saban or an excited Ed Orgeron?
I think an excited Ed Orgeron. That guy is just one of the best stories in all of college football. And I'll be the first to say, I kind of thought LSU should hire Tom Herman when that was a thing, and when, you know, people were saying, hey, don't get Coach O. And I actually did the game, the LSU-Texas A&M game, where all the rumors started circulating about Tom Herman being hired by LSU. And Coach O was coaching in that game. And I just remember after the game, he was kind of finding out about those rumors, and you could just tell that it was upsetting to him, because that job meant so much to him, and that was really all he had ever wanted, was to coach LSU. And so you just see his heart and soul poured into it, and it makes his excited moments that much more entertaining.
His success has been awesome. Laura, I'll tell you, one of the things about our show is I'm completely open and honest and genuine with my audience, even to the point of highlighting my mistakes. I also gravitate toward genuine personalities, and I need to let you know, you have such a warm and genuine personality on the air. I believe that you do Laura Rutledge better than anyone else is themselves on the air, and I think that is so endearing about you. So I know it's...
What an incredible compliment. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Really, no, I really appreciate it.
It jumps off the... it jumps out of the TV set to me, and I know it's the University of Florida background there that's doing that for
after
you.
All so. That, after all that, you had to end it with that.
Yes, we do.
And after all that, I'm going to have to say go Gators, because my goodness, I mean, you pulled it out of me. I feel like my orange and blue therapy has already started here. We're off to a really good start.
I totally agree with that. Laura, it's been awesome to have you on. Can I ask you, Laura, is there perhaps a best email address for you? I'd love to have you on again sometime.
Oh, yes.
The words of Laura Rutledge joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Lonzo, I thought that last part was going to be edited out, man, but I guess not. And we greatly appreciate her time.
I don't think she cared about that email address, because it is a regular email address, just like us. So, I mean, it's no big deal.
I'm sure she doesn't care for 40,000 emails from overzealous fans coming in her way. But it was a ton of fun, and she was exactly the way I thought she would be. And I meant what I said, like on the air, I think her personality is so clearly seen. So one of the pieces of advice that they give you if you're doing TV or doing radio is be yourself. And that's hard to do when in college you're trying to figure out who you are. What is being myself? What is being Mark Ryan? What does that even mean? You know who she is
by her persona on the TV, on the television set, and it's no different when you're talking to her for a radio interview as
you
well.
You know, because of that, I wanted to ask her about her time on Get Up, but we were running out of time because, to me, that show looks like that would be very, very uptight. And when she was on it, it made it more watchable.
It loosened it up, didn't it?
It did.
It loosened it up. I mean, that is kind of the problem with that show is it's kind of been a little bit stiff, if I'm honest with you. And her presence, her warmth kind of made the whole thing better. Next time we have her on, and she said she'd be happy to come on anytime we'd like her to. Next time she comes on, I would like to ask her about her ESPN story and how she went from the University of Florida to ESPN. And I also didn't get to ask her what's more nerve-wracking when the right red light comes on TV or childbirth. So we didn't get to ask everything, but we did get to ask a lot. Also, I thought her answer on Feinbaum was interesting. Why does Paul Feinbaum hate Clemson so much? All right, so much more good stuff coming your way right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Going to run through here a few of our favorite audio clips of the day. Ed Ogeron on, the fact that this game on Saturday is a mighty big one.
Everything's on the line. And when everything's on the line, I believe in this football team. But you know what? We don't make the game bigger than it is. This is an important game for us, obviously, to get where we want to go. But we take it one game at a time.
Best voice I've ever heard in my life. Paul Feinbaum, noted Clemson hater, says that you, the Clemson fans of the Upstate, relish the role of being overlooked.
Dabo Sweeney went out last night and got an RC Cola and a pizza and celebrated because he can finally be an underdog again. He didn't like being number one. They didn't play very well. And now I think Clemson is the most dangerous team in the country.
Paul Feinbaum continues that it's not about what you did last year. It's about what we've seen this year with our very own eyes.
It doesn't matter how many games they've won. It doesn't matter how many titles they've won. It doesn't matter how many times you've gone to Clemson and spoken to the team. What matters is what they've done on the field. That's what this committee is basing it on. I mean, all this other stuff is extraneous. It's irrelevant. Pay attention to the games. They've been okay. But they haven't been overwhelming. You know why? Because they haven't played anyone. Oh, they played Texas A&M. They played a couple of ranked teams that you can manufacture as big-time opponents. Alabama has not played a great schedule either, but they also didn't need to stop someone on a two-point conversion to beat North Carolina, which is going nowhere this year.
Yeah, Paul Feinbaum, they've beaten their opposition by more this year than they did last year, and they won the national title last year. Stephen A. Smith differs with Paul Feinbaum and very passionately is despondent to the point that Clemson is somehow not in the top four.
It's not Clemson's fault that you know what, you could question their level of competition and the fact in which they've stomped on everybody. They are 9-0. They are the reigning, defending national champions. Over the last 4 years, they've been in a championship game three times. They've won two national titles. They stand here as the reigning national titles. And on top of it all, over the last 4 years and nine games, these brothers are 64-4. And you're telling me that because Penn State has been on a roll for 3 months, you're telling me that Clemson, the reigning defending national champions, may not get to defend their crown if they, I mean, just clear the slate and beat everybody in front of them and go 12-0, and they're supposed to be on the outside looking in?
Folks, I am trying to seek confirmation that Stephen A. Smith has survived that very clip. I'm not sure that he has. He calms down quite a bit to talk about what Carolina should do with Cam neutered.
There comes a point in time where your time in a particular locale has come up. And I got news for you. I think there's somebody else that needs Cam Newton more desperately than the Carolina Panthers. It is the Chicago Bears. I think that the Chicago Bears should trade for Cam Newton. They need somebody with that moxie. They need somebody with that athletic ability. They need somebody with heart. The mental makeup. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Mitchell Trubisky. I'm just calling it like I see it. The mental makeup that he seems to have does not seem to be made for Chicago. I think somebody like Cam would be better. I think he needs a fresh start. I think Carolina already has it. With Kyle Allen, you roll with that. I would trade Cam Newton to the Chicago Bears.
Marcus Spears, who teams with Laura Rutledge, who joined us in the last segment and likes Fortnite, says something here that I completely and totally disagree with.
This Cam Newton we talking about. This ain't like
Heisman Trophy winner. This ain't number one overall
pick.
This
ain't a guy where you're guessing if he can play at an elite level. Yeah. You just wondering if his body is going to allow him to play at an elite level.
And Marcus Spears opines on what might be next for Cam Newton.
Chicago possibly. You still got Miami, who may want to go chase Young one and say, hey, Cam Newton's sitting out there.
Yeah.
The only concern with Cam is health.
Yep.
Like once you start having that conversation, it's different.
Yep.
It's different than a drop off of play, right?
100%.
Because you got coaches over here saying, oh, we can get Cam to play. Like we can get him to be productive and get back to the MVP level. Problem is availability. And Cam just has been dealing with these nagging injuries. It was the shoulder. This year is the foot. You start thinking about the way he plays, too. It lends itself to being injured, but it also lends itself to him being one of the best in the league. So it's like, where is the median for you to say we can change Cam Newton to protect him, but we can't change him to stop him from who he is?
It has been surmised that the Carolina Panthers put Cam Newton on the injured reserve so they could stop answering questions about him. Like they were getting mentally fatigued answering all those questions. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Panthers, addresses that.
Cam worked very hard and working towards getting better. You know, he went up, saw Dr. Anderson, and he's progressing. We feel right now probably the best thing is to put him on IR and move forward. That's where we are with the guys. I really do appreciate everything Cam does. I appreciate the fact that he's still here. He still wants to be around and be part of it. And he's done a great job doing that. So with that, I'd like to start talking about playing the Packers.
With that, never ask me any questions about Cam Newton ever again. Translation from head coach Ron Rivera. All right, the best thing we heard today is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. All right, it is time for the best thing we heard today. Always get nervous when I have no idea what Lonzo is going to pick, so let's see what's up his sleeve.
Feinbaum, my biggest piece of dirt on Paul, and this is not really a shocker, but I just think it's worth saying, Paul only eats smoothies, and you can't eat a smoothie, so he only drinks smoothies. So the guy, I'm constantly trying to get him to eat things, and he will really only drink a smoothie. So that's kind of his routine, is he drinks a smoothie every day. And then for Marcus, Marcus's favorite thing about an SEC Nation weekend, other than actually doing the show and, you know, talking football, is that he will play Fortnite on our bus. So we have like a whole setup in the back of the bus where he plays Fortnite, which will come in the bus, and you just see him back there, you know, battling it out with somebody. I'm not totally familiar with how Fortnite works.
Does he jump up and get heated, and does the entire bus shake when he gets
of course, and that happens. And for Tim, I mean, look, there's not a lot of dirt on Tim. He truly is a wonderful person, but he does have some interesting food things that he does. Like he'll eat a whole avocado with nothing else. I realize there's kind of a food theme here, but you know, Tim is a very healthy eater and he's very committed to that. So that's always fun to see what sort of weird thing he's got. He's very into the keto stuff.
Ah, some dirt from Laura Rutledge on her SEC Nation cohort, shared with us and shared with you. We got the inside scoop all right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. That interview in its entirety will be posted on social media, on Twitter at ESPN Upstate and on our ESPN Upstate Facebook page. We also ask Laura Rutledge, what's the beef between Paul Feinbaum and Clemson fans? Why is he so angry at Clemson fans? And she addresses that as well as anybody ever has. It'll be all up for you this afternoon. All right, Wise Guys Wisdom coming your way tomorrow on the show. A team no one's talking about that could screw up the whole college football playoff picture. And so much more coming your way. Straight Up with Sturges next. Will Polacek sitting in right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.